Welcome to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Here's your host, Hans Christian Vittinghus.
Today I'm trying a slightly different concept for the podcast. I invited World Tour commentator Sten Schleichner Pedersen for a chat only about the Thomas and Uber Cup draw. I was planning on talking both Thomas and Uber Cup with Sten, and we did, but I ended up deciding to split it up into two separate episodes, despite saying otherwise during the talk with Sten. So the episode today will only deal with Thomas Cup, and then I'll release the episode about Uber Cup in the start of next week. The more normal guest episodes will return soon as well, but I'll be eager to know what you think of the episode today and the Uber Cup one next week, so feel free to contact me with your feedback on my social media, or you can send me an email on ayearontour@gmail.com. If you do enjoy what you hear, you could consider becoming a patron, just like Peter K did after the Jan Jørgensen episode I did last week. He is my patron number 10, so I reached that goal. Thank you so much everyone for supporting me. So now my next goal will be to reach 15. So you can go to and visit patreon.com/vittinghus if you want to support and help the podcast grow. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Sten Schleichner Pedersen, and thank you so much for joining us for this talk about the Thomas and Uber Cup.
Always a pleasure, and nice to be talking badminton again after 6 months of hiatus.
Yeah, definitely. And as I said, we're going to talk about the Thomas and Uber Cup, and of course it's the draws we are going to talk about as they were released earlier this week. We will start off by talking about Thomas Cup. And let's just start off with the Pool A with the top seeds, Indonesia. They are drawn to play Malaysia, the Netherlands, and England. Do you see any other outcome than Indonesia and Malaysia placed as number one and two team in that group?
No, it's very difficult to see any other outcome. It will be a surprise if either Netherlands or England should be able to squeeze into top two. Indonesia at the top seeds for a reason. They have a very strong team this year with the young players that have matured, whilst Malaysia are in the process of putting a good team together. Lee Si Jia as their lead men's singles player has improved, and they have two strong doubles as well, Malaysia. So it would be a big surprise if Netherlands or England were able to qualify for the quarterfinal stage in that group. Mm.
I think one of the problems for Malaysia, if you look at the head-to-head against Indonesia in terms of actually beating Indonesia and getting that first position in the group, that's quite important, is that I also see one of Malaysia's strongest aspects is actually the doubles department. And you don't really find another team in the world where doubles is stronger than Indonesia at the moment. So it's going to take quite the effort for Malaysia to get past Indonesia in the group stage.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's a lot of question marks in my mind also with the Malaysian team. I have Lee Si Jia as first men's singles and Aaron Chia and Su Week as the first men's doubles. But from then on, there's question marks. Are Darren Liu, for instance, is he included in the team? He's an independent professional. And the same is Gobi Shen and Tan Rikyong, who's at the moment, according to the rankings, they're second men's doubles, but it could also be Ong Yusin and TVE. So a lot of uncertainty about Malaysia's team. But on the other hand, Malaysia, they tend to play well when they're underdogs, much more than when they are actually favorites with a very strong team.
If we just shortly take the more European perspective and look at the match between Netherlands and England, it's actually a rematch from the European Men's Team Championships where Netherlands beat England, right?
Yeah, I think they did and won their first medal with the men's team. And it's not so long ago. So it'll be interesting to see whether the Netherlands can repeat that win. I'm looking forward to see the clash in the first men's singles between Mark Cardio and Toby Penty, two players that I know very well. But I also think England has some strong doubles players and has got some possibilities.
Moving on to Group B. That's a group with China, Chinese Taipei, Australia, and France. And just as in Group A, I see a pretty clear cut the number one and two teams that it's going to be China and Chinese Taipei in my mind. Australia and France is going to have their work cut out. But I think France is actually a quite interesting team, especially again with the European perspective, because they have all these young guys in men's singles. Do you think there might be a chance actually against Chinese Taipei to get that second spot in the group?
I think it's going to be a little bit difficult because people are warned about France now. They created a huge upset 2 years ago in Thailand, where they defeated India in the first match. India was not at full strength, we have to say that, but it was still a pretty decent team, and France came out winning 4-1. So it was, in the end, a convincing win, and they have a lot of young players coming up. The Popov brothers and Arnaud Merkley, Tom Kikel in the doubles department. So it's interesting to see how they've developed here. Nobody really knows where any of the players stand because there hasn't been badminton since the All England. So there, some players might have taken a huge leap in playing strength, and some might have fallen down a little bit. So France would be one of the teams that I would expect to be able to take a little leap. But we don't know how the lockdown has impacted them, how much have they been able to practice and so on. It's going to be difficult against China. Chinese Taipei, I think it's also going to be difficult. They have a strong team if they're all healthy, with Chou Qianchen, Wang Suwei in two first singles, and three really strong doubles pairs with Li Yang and Wang Qilin, top 10 pair. Lu Qingyao and Yang Pohan, who can also play really, really well, and Lao Minchun and Su Qingheng. So they are a strong team. They're definitely one of the teams that could create surprises after the group stage, I think, Chinese Taipei.
Do you see them maybe even springing a surprise against China in the group stage?
I wouldn't totally rule it out. I think it would be difficult. But China, the defending champions, they have a different team this year than when they won 2 years ago in Bangkok. When they won that championship, Xi Yuqi played second men singles and won all his matches. So he's still in the second men singles. But we also know that he suffered this sprained ankle against Anders Antonsen, who kept him out for a long, long time. And he hasn't really been himself since then. So it's going to be interesting to see whether the lockdown has helped him. Has he had enough time to practice instead of playing tournaments all the time? But he was a major factor, and so was Li Junhui and Liu Yuchen. They played the second doubles 2 years ago and won all their matches. So they had two combinations, players that won all their matches, so they only had to find one more match. As Li Junhui and Liu Yuchen, they won the second doubles every single match. Or I guess, I don't know if they were first doubles once in a while, but that's not the case anymore. They're the first doubles now, and the second doubles looks a little bit more shaky. And also the closer, the third men's singles, who is the one you trust in close matches. 2 years ago, it was Lin Dan. Mm-hmm. That's a good closer to have now. Lin Dan has retired, and we don't really know who the closer is. Is it Lu Guangsu, or is it Huang Yaqiong, or maybe one of the younger guys, Sun Feixiang, or we don't know who's coming. So the Chinese team looks a little bit more vulnerable this year than 2 years ago, and not the favorites to defend their title, but they definitely have a chance to do it.
Third group in Thomas Cup is my favorite group because it contains Denmark, of course. And I think we've actually gotten a pretty decent draw, Denmark. We have India, Germany and Algeria in the group. And I'm not going to run away from the label as favorites. I think Denmark are pretty clear favorites in this group. But I also see India as a team that's actually matching up with Denmark quite well right now, because Denmark has lost so many doubles players that our doubles department is
looks like best, India. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit shaky. We have a decent first men's doubles, but no one really knows who's in the second doubles. And for me, India is a team that's really strong on the single side, just like Denmark, and has shown in the past that they can actually trouble
with one good doubles. Players. Mm. And with one good double, and then the second doubles, who plays that is a little bit more in the dark. It could be Manu Atri and Sumit Reddy, which would then be a really good matchup against second Danish men's doubles, who would probably be a scratch pair. As I see it, there's not a whole lot of men's doubles players international level left in the Danish team. So I made a little bit of a mock-up of a possible team compositions, and I could see Denmark only taking five doubles players and electing to give a youngster in the men's singles a chance to sit and watch closely. I don't think he was going to play, but I could see a player like Magnus Johannesson, who created problems for Anders Antonsen at the Nationals last year. I could see him being selected as a learning experience. Lots of pressure on Anders Antonsen, who is at the moment ranked as the top Dane. That means Victor Axelsen is in the second men's singles, which it seems like a really, really good card for Denmark. Victor won the last tournament that has been played. That's the All England. Kento Momota cannot go to second men's singles. So I could see Victor emerge as one of the players that wins all his matches in the Thomas Cup tournament, like he did back in 2016 when Denmark won the title. But there's also a possibility that there's a lot of pressure on that match if the first two men's singles and men's doubles is not delivering. Then there's going to be some possibilities of switching between youth and experience, where you and Rasmus Kimke probably are going to share the honors in the third men's singles.
I hope so. I think there's no doubt right now that Kimke, with his results, are probably the first choice in third men's singles. But I definitely agree with you that what you also said before, that third singles in a knockout stage is also who you trust and believe has the experience in the end to actually close the match. And to my advantage, I've proven before that I'm capable of doing exactly that.
Exactly. And the thing is that it's very rarely you get to test these third men's singles, because the group stage is one, maybe two tough matches. But if they're decided before the last match, you don't really know anything, and maybe you've already qualified, and then that means the pressure is not the same on the third men's singles. And in the knockout stage, you only get to play if it's 2-2. So it's very, very tricky to play that third men's singles, and maybe you don't play for 2-3 days, and then suddenly in the final you played the deciding match for the trophy, and you haven't been in action. So definitely think, if I look at the mock-ups, there's five teams, in my opinion, that stand out in terms of having good closers, where Denmark is one of them, and we have more selections, not only one player.
And I would like to mention Algeria and Germany in this group as well, but I can't really see the angle where Algeria is competitive in any way, and no disrespect to them, but they were also in our group back in Thailand in 2018. Do you see Germany have any chance? Like, we played them in the European men's team championships. Do you think they would have a chance against India, perhaps, for second place?
They might have a chance against India. I don't know. The lineup, I don't know if they are back in practice after the lockdown. It seems like they're only starting practice here in 2018, when they lost to France. India didn't field their strongest team. If they can go to Thomas and Ubacup here, I think it would be with the strongest teams. But what conditions would they be in? They haven't played really well for the past year. If we close out the last 6 months, so 1.5 year, I don't think India has created the results that they promised before that. So I guess it's a natural development, but now they have to sort of stay at top. It's a little bit easier to get to the top. Now they have to stay there and day in, day out, create good results in the biggest tournaments, and they've struggled doing that. So Germany, they have two good men's doubles, and then they need a surprise in one of the men's singles. So it could be done. It could be done. And I think also Denmark has to respect the two men's doubles that they have.
Yeah, for sure. And what I think is quite interesting with Germany here is that if this long corona situation or break has made Fabian Roth actually get back into a good condition, if he can play that event and be third man singles, then I see him as a possible surprise maker in a match like even against Denmark. He's shown before that he could beat Victor, so why wouldn't he have a chance against me, Gimke, or third man singles from India?
Yeah, that's a good point. Fabian Roth has been out for almost 2 years with injuries, and very talented player. So that's going to be interesting, and we'll only know when we see the lineups whether he's fit enough to be included in the team.
Final group in Thomas Cup is Group D with Japan, who's seeded two, and then we have Korea, Thailand, and Canada. And on paper, this is probably the most even group because we have, in my eyes, three world-class teams. Or at least teams with their world-class players on it. And that's, of course, Japan, Korea, and Thailand. I see Japan as pretty clear favorites. It's one of the biggest favorites for the title. But Korea and Thailand, I think it's going to be quite interesting to see who's going to win that encounter, but also if any one of them can actually trouble Japan a bit.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Like you said, Japan, a very, very strong team, and their team is more or less set. There's not a whole lot of discussion about who plays first, who plays second, who plays the doubles, and so on. So just like Indonesia, they have their team more or less set. At least in my mock-up here, they have. They perhaps lack a little bit of strength in the third doubles pair, Japan, compared to Indonesia. But who doesn't compare to Indonesia? So I think Japan is going to win that group, and then Korea and Thailand is going to battle it out for qualification for the quarterfinal stage. One of the things, though, is that Korea. One of the things that I'm curious to see is what is the lineup? Is it a sole national team lineup, or do they invite the independent players into the team? Because if they do that, if they invite Ko Sung-hyun, Shin Baek-chul, Lee Yong-dae, Yoo Young-sun, or Kim Ki-chung into the team, then they have a very, very tricky team because they can have Sung Wan-ho as their closer in the third men's singles. And I wouldn't like personally to see any other team facing someone who in a decider for the win.
He's shown before that he's a great team player, Sung Wan-ho. I remember when he beat Chen Long at the was it the Asian Games?
Asian Games on home soil, beat Chen Long and sort of started this question mark that's been attached to Chen Long in terms of team matches where he hasn't been as clinical as Lin Dan, or I guess we could say that Lin Dan, because he lost a couple of team matches as well, but he lost to Lee Chong Wei against Malaysia, but it didn't cost China the team match. This time it cost China the team match, and that has happened a couple of times, and I guess it's been nagging Chen Long a little bit. First men's singles is not so strong Hugh Kwang-hee, but the first men's doubles, Choi Soo-ju and Seo Sung-jae, we know that they can play really well also. They've troubled Sukumuryo and Gideon. So they could be a dark horse if they choose to include some of the independent players in the Korean team. And Thailand, I have a feeling that they have to win all three men's singles to progress from the group against in the match against Korea. Their doubles department is not as strong, but they could use Pong Puepet and Kittisak Namdae, who also beat Gideon and Sukumulu 2 years ago. So lineups is going to be really, really interesting.
So that's the four groups in Thomas Cup, and for me, it doesn't really make sense to discuss too much about the knockout draw because we don't know anything about it. But Steen, I will give you the chance to give us your prediction on gold, silver, and bronze medals before we move on to talking about Euro Cup. And from what I hear so far, I'm guessing you will say Indonesia 1, Japan 2, and China.
No, I'm not going to make. I'm not going to make a clear prediction because we know how easily that can go wrong. When Denmark won the title in 2016, I think we got extremely lucky that Korea disposed of China on that occasion because Denmark would have had trouble playing China. So there's a lot of matchup tactics also in the lineup and so on. So sometimes you can move a player up to get the desired matchup, and that's also the case here. So before we see the knockout draw, it's very difficult to predict something, but the most complete teams at the moment in my opinion is Indonesia and Japan. The teams are set, they have good backup players, so they would be my favorites to take the title. And after that, we still see China with quality players. They've been struggling a little bit in the last part of the team, in the second men's doubles, third men's singles. But who knows if we get there, because they have Chen Long and Xi Yuqi in the first two singles and Li Junhui and Liu Chen in the doubles. So they're also very, very strong. And I hope from a patriotic perspective that Denmark can find something useful in the second men's doubles and that the single strength can help us through to the semifinals. So China and Denmark pretty much as in the seedings here, Indonesia, Japan 1-2, China and Denmark hopefully in the semifinals. Surprises, I think countries have to be aware of these four countries have to be aware of Malaysia normally playing really good as underdogs.
Alright Steen, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me about the Thomas Cup draw. We will be back again next week where we discuss the Euro Cup draw. Take care everyone.
Thank you for listening to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, share, and leave a comment in iTunes or your preferred podcast app.